Hi everybody, this is Isabel from Easy Life Podcast, and this is my first try to record an English version of an episode. So this is a keynote that I've recorded for a client for the International Women's Day, and I hope you enjoy it, and I would love to have some feedback from you via Instagram. Yeah, let's go. Imagine you wake up in a world where your phone is too big for your hands and the temperature in the office is slightly too cold and you're freezing the whole day. Imagine the office chair has a too high upper body part, and if you try to adjust it properly, you either cannot reach the floor with the feet or you are not comfortable at all. Imagine you're a police officer and your vest is not really fitting your body and the backpack you have to carry is hurting your shoulders. Imagine in a car you have to sit very far forward to reach the pedal and the seatbelt is really not comfortable for your chest while driving. Imagine the mirror in almost any hotel of the world is slightly too high for you and you cannot see yourself properly while combing your hair or brushing your teeth. Imagine you get sick and the meds the doctor gives you either makes you feel dizzy or overdosed, or it's not working at all and you feel underdosed. You Google your symptoms, but everything Google says is really not relevant for you. So if anything of this sounds familiar to you, then you might probably be a woman. Have you ever experienced something that changed your entire view of the world? Because you always assumed that the world is, as you perceive it, is the real world, of course. And that little tiny moment when you realize that the template through which you see the world is just a template and not the reality, in that tiny moment, a bias breaks. And before I tell you more about bias, hi everyone, my name is Isabel and I'm very happy to have these 15 minutes with you today on the International Women's Day. I was born in Nuremberg, Germany, as one of the youngest in a big family, and I became one of the first women in my family who went to university and got into a management and a scientific career after that. I was raised and educated in that world that I've just described before, the world, or let's say our world, that was designed by and for men. And the moment my bias was broken, I will remember for the rest of my life. It happened doing research on this world and the human brain. I'm a neuroscientist and I'm really deeply passionate about biases. And yeah, I'm super glad to show you a bit about what I found out. So what is a bias? First question. And why is it so important for me to get you some information about it? A bias is kind of a cognitive illusion. That is something that our brain is taking for the right thing in order to make a fast decision so that we can handle our daily life better and easier. And you're not completely overwhelmed by taking the decision what to wear in the morning. Yeah, biases are very necessary for our daily life, but not in every situation. I give you an example and I hope that it's clearer what a bias is after that. So, you go on a bazaar and you see a scarf and you like it and you want to buy it. And you ask the shop owner, how much is it? And he replies, or she replies, $50. So, you're on a bazaar, a place where you're supposed to negotiate for the price. What do you think? Let's observe your brain. What do you think about the $50? Would you think, good catch? Or would you think, hey, I try to have it around $25 maybe? But what if that guy or that person were a very honest person and said from the beginning on, the scarf cost him about $25? Would you agree? Or would you then think, hey, I can make it around $12? So by this example, I think it's clear that the first information that drops in our mind, in this case, the number, this has a huge impact on our decision. And in this case, for the estimation of a price. So if I would say, hey, it's about 50, maybe we end up by $25. But if I would say, hey, it's about 200, maybe we end up around 100. So it's very important how you anchor with the number. And this is why it's called the anchoring bias. Yeah, let me give you a second example of bias, which is, it's called the brilliance bias. And it starts 100 years ago. We attributes like brilliance, intelligent, smart, even genius are culturally and historically associated with man. So you can find these results in many studies, even today. For many years, just men went to university. What happens when we teach our children at school, subconsciously, of course, but if we teach them the brilliance bias? Are little boys more likely to succeed in a math test where the whole story or the whole narrative tells them they have to be very smart for this? I think we all know the answer, and you can also test that. What happens when we follow that bias along graduation classes and the first jobs? Who is more likely to climb up the career steps? And if the majority of the people in a junior management level is male, who are they supporting more? Who is deciding about the staffing of design teams? And which products does such companies invent? One of my favorite examples is the Apple Health app. It's a native Apple app, so it's this little white box with a little heart in it. It's designed as a digital health coach. So you can track a lot of health data and you have a good overview if you sleep enough or if you exercise enough and so on. So the big question is, why can I track my copper intake per day in that app, while I cannot track my menstrual cycle? Good question, right? I don't have any clue about my daily copper intake. Do you? Actually, I really don't know either which foods have much copper in it. I would have to do a lot of research about this. But I would estimate that my copper intake per day has a smaller impact on my general health than my hormones. The hormones that are not just responsible for my cycle, but they are also running my metabolism, my sleep, my reaction to stress, my immune system, my fertility, and my mental health. So, yeah, almost 50% of the world's population has or had or is going to have a menstrual cycle. So why is it possible that you can track your copper intake in the health app, but not the hormones for your cycle, which is really critical for the health in women? Maybe there's a very simple answer, and this is there was just no female software developer in Apple's design teams, right? So if we dig deeper here, we find a lack of knowledge about women. This is happening because we collect a lot more data from men than from women over the centuries, and it's called the gender data gap. And I could recommend a very, very good book for that. A colleague of mine, a scientific writer, Caroline Perez, she collected a whole book full of data of examples for that. And the origin of this gap started 1,000 years ago, around 3,000 years ago, when we invented a special guy. And the idea that one can stand for all. The guy is called the reference man. And he's a Caucasian, also a minority in the world's population, but that's another talk for another day. He is about 1.75 meters high and weighs about 70 kilograms. And his superpower is he represents everyone. In fact, he doesn't. But yeah, he represents basically man, but we've ignored that for a very, very long time. And along this guy, we've designed buildings and public transportation and cars and mobiles and tools and backpacks and mats and office chairs and work clothes and so on. We thought it's intelligent to produce all that to the tools that fit to the people they use it. And that is a brilliant idea, a very good idea. But we forgot about half of the society. And here's another bias. It's called the default male bias. So the standard in the society is male. And a female body or a female customer choice or medical need or whatever demand is just seen as a lower scaled male need. Wow, that's a tongue breaker. Lower scaled male need. Wow. And women are perceived like smaller men. This is also called the Henry Higgs effect. So you can call it default male bias or the Henry Higgs effect. And if you wonder who is Henry Higgs, he's a figure from the novel and the book Madame Butterfly, who said, "Why can't women be more like men?" So the other way around, the question is not really asked, right? Could give you a lot, 100 examples for that default male bias, but let me share, let's say two bold examples with you. The first is medicine. For almost every study that we conduct to find out about the effectiveness and also side effects and also on from meds, we just test men. So the percentage of the tests on women in clinical trials that we've done are super little. For example, heart attack is the leading cause of death for women in Europe and the US, and about 50% of heart attack occur in women. So this is a big issue, and we know that the cardiovascular system and also the metabolic things are different in men and in women, so we have gender-based differences. It's not surprising that we have also different symptoms when it comes to heart attack in women than in men. But now it comes to the important question, on which standard bodies do we teach doctor when they learn about to diagnose a heart attack? On male bodies, 5 times more likely than on women, on female bodies. So it's not very surprising that women are more likely to be misdiagnosed when having a heart attack, and women are more than twice more likely to die in hospital, even in hospital when having a heart attack because of this misdiagnosing. Yeah, and last but not least, the studies for the heart medications are tested on male cells, then on male animals, mostly rats and mice, and then male humans. And if you ask the research institutes why they cannot include women in the trials, the answer is mostly very easy. Women are just too complicated. So it's not really surprising that this fact is affecting medical treatment, the recovery and the well-being of women all over the world. And if you want to make your own, a little own impression of that default male bias, do me a favor and Google heart attack and look at the results that Google gives you. And yeah, maybe you will get the impression that only middle-aged Caucasian men suffer from it. Second example, cars. My home country is a very car-addicted country. So cars are designed for male bodies and tested on male dummies. That's why women are 47% more likely to be badly injured in a car accident and 70% more likely to die than men in the same car. Nobody invented until today a seatbelt that is comfortable for boobs or even worse for pregnant women. So That's why the rate of infant death in pregnant women having a car accident is shockingly high. And for me, it comes to that picture in my mind that we landed on the moon, but we cannot invent for decades a seatbelt that is comfortable for pregnant women and protecting the unborn child. I could go on a lot more with millions of examples, but the important question is, why are we continuing doing this? So, we think we are smart people, right? We know a lot. We know much more than any humans in the evolution before. So why exactly do we continue? We do this because we have these bias. And the bias in our brains form a role model. And the role model form a narrative for the society. And if the bias stays the same, the role model stays the same, the narrative stays the same. So as a neuroscientist, I really can tell from the bottom of my heart, it's tough work to change the behavior within the narrative and the role model. You have to go back to the bias, to work within the brain, and then it starts to change easier and faster. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this topic today. We celebrate the International Women's Day on the 8th of March. And we don't want flowers or chocolate or something. We want a chair at the table. Half of your company is female. Half of your colleagues are female. Half of your clients are female. So let's raise awareness and recognize we have all these bias. Women and men, we both have it. But being aware of the fact is the first step to change that. So let's acknowledge that fact today. Become an ally and ask for example, the people or the women when you have the feeling this could be a standard or default male bias situation. And also make the first move by saying clearly, let's break that bias. Imagine you wake up in a world where your phone is fitting your hands and the temperature in the office is discussed. You can discuss about that and it can be adapted to the people that are sitting in. Imagine you're a police officer and your vest is protecting your life when you get shot. Imagine you drive a car where you can reach the pedal and you're not sitting too far forward and the seatbelt is comfortable for your chest. Imagine you get sick and the medicine the doctor gives you makes you feel better. Imagine in school they teach you not a standard body, but a lot of body types that are all different, but equally. Let's imagine we can build that world, and we can start today. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day. Bye.